Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Friday, May 2nd, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for. And today, if you sense some hesitation in my voice in that normal intro, it's because I couldn't wait to tell you guys that today is the day I will be back at the NovaCare, and we are going to have practice updates. Barring a change between now and start of practice, you never know, don't want to jinx it, but Eagles football returns to South Philly as rookie minicamp begins. The rookies that were drafted, the undrafted rookies, some players that were just invited to the minicamp will take the field on Friday and Saturday, and I will be there reporting on it. We'll have pictures, we'll have videos, we'll get numbers. It's kind of like the first day of school. It's like the first of many first days of school. First, we had the return of OTAs. That was like a first day of school. Now, this is a first day of school. Then the mandatory mini camp. Then training camp. But this one's especially exciting because for a lot of players, this will be their first time. In fact, I take that back. For pretty much almost every player, this will be their first time on NFL field. Sometimes you do see players that have been in the NFL invited to rookie mini camp. But yeah, super, super excited to get out there. Excited to see Jahad Campbell in an Eagles uniform, see what he looks like, see Makuba out there, see how, you know, if he really does look really undersized compared to the rest of the players. And also the numbers, let's be honest. You know I love the numbers. You know I think it matters. So I'm excited to see what numbers these guys got. But until then, let's keep talking about the draft class because we got a chance, or I should say we, the Eagles website posted an article where Alec Hallaby broke down the draft picks. Now, there's good news and there's bad news with this. The good news is Alec Hallaby talked about all the picks, and I thought gave like some real insightful answers on them. The bad news, it's all written word. So you should go to the Eagles website and check it out. It's worth a read, but I'm going to have to read all of these quotes. I think I do a pretty good job reading quotes, but it's not the same as hearing it from Alec Hallaby himself. That being said, let's dive right into it as Alec Hallaby gave a thought on all 10 of the draft picks. Let's start at the top with Jahad Campbell, obviously round one, the 31st overall pick. Alec Hallaby says, quote, "Man, he's a great player. I love watching him play. He's springy. He's explosive. There are a ton of adjectives you can use to describe him. When he's in a pure stacked backer role, he processes really well in the run game. He's very fast to hit it. Really sure, reliable tackler. In the pass game, this is a guy who can match running backs, can match tight ends. He's very alert and plays with very good vision. When you ask him to rush the passer, it's electric when he comes off the ball. He will blow up running backs. He will slither to the quarterback. He has a lot of different ways to get home. He can also drop out of the line of scrimmage in an overhang role if you want to create a five down front, either early or late, and give teams a different presentation. and he can rush one-on-one against tackles. So I think he is really good at all the core jobs, and he can also do a lot of things that a lot of linebackers can't do. We were fortunate that he was there when we picked, end quote. So there's a lot in there, obviously. Some things that stand out to me is talking about his ability in coverage, them feeling that he can match running backs and tight ends, obviously big. Alec Hallaby mentioning that the versatility they'll give him, you look at where he says you can create a five down front either early or late, so they can move him around. They can have him start at a stand-up backer, and then they can have him come up to the line and be more of an edge. They can put him on the edge and then have him drop, like give the opposing offenses a lot of looks. And here's like the key part of this. They feel he can rush one-on-one against tackles. Now, Ike Reese, who obviously Philadelphia GOAT, said on the WIP afternoon show that he thinks Jahad Campbell's still raw as a rusher. And I agree with that. Like, when you watch him, he is not a polished rusher, but the Eagles clearly see the upside. And this is a small thing, but I think it's noteworthy. Like, you just look at that, and I didn't read the whole quote, so you should go check it out. But he just talks about him as an edge rusher more. He likes him as a linebacker, but it's clear the special quality they feel he has is an ability to play linebacker and to play edge. And since edge is a more important position, we know that's where they would prefer him. But yeah, the one-on-one against the tackles, the ability to give the opposing offenses different looks, and the ability to cover one-on-one, that all hits, and that's a lot, but like that becomes, a very, very special player. All right, next up, safety Andrew Makuba out of Texas, obviously round 2, 64th overall pick. Quote, great athlete, really smart player. This guy can absolutely cover. I think that is what jumps off the tape when you watch Andrew play. He's a guy who can match receivers. He can match tight ends. He is wired athletically in terms of his anticipation to really match routes one-on-one. When you ask him to play in the deep part of the field, he sees the full field. He plays with great vision and awareness and processes at a really high tempo. That is a really unusual skill that he has. When he has an opportunity to get the ball, he gets the ball. This guy finds the ball. So a lot to like in there. First, obviously, they feel one-on-one. He can play with the tight ends. He can play with the running backs, and he can match up one-on-one. I shouldn't say tight ends, but they feel he can play man coverage against receivers, running backs, and I would think the tight ends are an issue because of their size when you consider Makuba's size of being one of the smaller safeties. But what I liked here is that they feel he processes at a really high tempo. As a rookie, it's going to be hard to do that in the NFL. The game goes way quicker. He's getting used to it, but he'll be ahead of the curve because of how he can process. And, the Eagles, they need Sidney Brown or him to step up, or they're going to make a trade. Like, they're not going to put Makuba or Brown out there if they don't feel confident in what they can do. And the ability to process and to see what you're seeing and to break it down, I mean, that's such a massive part, obviously, of being a great football player. And that's especially true at safety. So that's really encouraging to see that they feel that he can do that. And I should reference, he did say tight ends. I don't know why I say he didn't. He did say they feel he can match tight ends. So I still have my concerns about the pick. But hey, later today, I'll see him out on the field and maybe it won't seem as bad. All right, next up, Alec Hallaby talks about defensive tackle Ty Robinson out of Nebraska. Obviously, the fourth round pick, 111th overall. Quote, he's pretty mature with his hand use, his ability to get on edges. He can win down the middle. He's a large man, but he can also win on the edges because he's slippery enough. He can adapt enough and fast enough with his hands and body to give you multiple ways to rush. He gives extremely high effort in the run game. He will strike people if you give him a double team, and he can stand up to a vertical double. He will find a way to split it. He's both talented and gives high effort, which is an intersection that we like to live in. So first of all, that last part there. He's both talented and gives high effort, which is an intersection we like to live in. I think that is, if the Eagles had to write like a five-step plan of how they build their team currently, or like if Nick had to describe what he looks for, talented and gives high effort. I know that's something basic, but I do think the way he phrased that is important. The Eagles have really, really focused on character and effort. And now look, you draft character and effort guys out of Alabama and Georgia, you're going to hit on a lot of them. But I think that that has been a formula that's worked. So back to Ty Robinson himself. So he mentions his ability to play on the edge. When I watch Ty Robinson, just my opinion, I think he can be a pass rushing defensive tackle for sure. Like, I think he definitely has that in him. I'm less sure he can do it on the edge. We'll see. They think they can. I will acknowledge that Clint Hurt probably knows more about football than I do. He just doesn't look fast to me. He mentions, Alec Halaby mentions he's fast enough with his hands. Now, obviously, that's not an electric first step, but I'm skeptical about the edge. Now, he's done it. He's lined up there. He could definitely do it against the run. Like, if you put him in there on an obvious rundown, he's definitely going to set the edge. Like, he has the size to do that. But on obvious pass downs, I do think he is a little bit away from being able to be an edge rusher out there. Okay, next up, cornerback Mac McWilliams out of Central Florida, their fifth round pick, 145th overall. Alec Halaby says, quote, "Some people see him outside, some people see him inside, and I think the beauty of that is it is often means you can play both inside and outside. He has athletic and mental versatility that we've seen Mac play outside, where he has the speed to carry vertical routes, and he has a good feel at the top of the route. Inside, he's a tough guy who can insert the run game as need be." So, first of all, the speed I don't think is an issue. Like, at his size, if he didn't have speed, he wouldn't have been drafted. So, obviously, they feel he can go down the field with vertical routes, and I think, he has shown that. You read the scouting reports, he doesn't give up a lot of big plays. So, that is obviously encouraging. Now, the thing about playing inside, though, is he's just a little, he's undersized for it in the NFL. Like, when you're inside at Central Florida, I think that's a little different than being inside in the NFL. So, you just look at Cooper DeJean and the size of him versus Mac McWilliams. Will he be able to do that? Will he be able to, go up to Derrick Henry like Cooper DeJean did? Will he be able to bring down Ja'Marr Chase like Cooper DeJean did? I don't know if he has the ability to do that. The Eagles must think he can play inside just because even though they're saying he can play outside, and he has the speed to do it, I just don't think they'll put that small of a corner on the outside. But we shall see. Next up, linebacker Smile Mondon Jr. out of Georgia, round 5, pick 161. Alec Halaby says, quote, "Surprised he was there. Multi-year starter on some great Georgia defenses. Really smart kid. They run a complex defense there, and he understands it all. He's an analytical person, and that fits with us because we ask our linebackers to solve problems on the field, and he is someone who can do that. What you see from him in the pass game is that he can match tight ends and he can match running backs. He has that kind of movement skill and looseness and agility and speed. And then in the run game, he is someone who will come downhill and violently destroy a block," end quote. So that last part is why I think he's going to be a special teams monster. Someone who will come downhill and violently destroy a block. That just feels like a special teams thing. And he's an excellent tackler. 5% missed tackle rate last year in college, which is outstanding. So he can tackle, he can move, he's violent when he runs, he's a hard hitter. All scream special teams. What I obviously also love about that is that they feel has a high football IQ. Because right there, obviously, they run a complex defense there and he understands it all. I love to see that, love to read it. Now, we'll see if he can do it at the NFL level. But the one thing with Mondon Jr. that I wasn't too sure of was, the defensive side of it. Like, I thought he could be a special teams guy, but I didn't know how close he was to being able to contribute on defense. But if he is, the football IQ that they're saying he is, then yeah, I mean, this could end up really being one of the steals of the draft. We talked about Matt Miller having him in his top 100 picks on yesterday's Daily Pod. I like this pick more and more I hear about him and really excited to see him out there today. Okay, next up, guard center Drew Kendall out of Boston College, fifth round pick, 168th overall. Alec Halaby says, quote, "3-year starter there, captain of the team, really a leader of that team, which for a center is something you always love to see. He's another high character, athletic, tough, smart individual. He can definitely play center, and his body type is very common for someone who can play multiple spots," end quote. That right there is the money quote to me. His body type is very common for someone who can play multiple spots. He's 6'4". That's a big center. I think they really like the idea of putting him at guard. And they think, hey, he can play center. He can be a top backup for them where he is the center backup, but he is also someone that can play either guard spots next year. But you never know. With Kenyon Green, with Tyler Steen, could Drew Kendall just win the job? Could he just flat out win the job? And I don't think they're ruling it out. So very excited to see him in camp. And once the whole team gets there, which we're still a little bit away, it would not surprise me if he moved up the depth chart pretty quickly to the point where he has a real chance of making the team as like a top backup or potentially as that starting right guard. Okay, only a few more here. This is the downside of 10 picks is this is a lot of picks, but I think this is really good stuff. I hope at least. All right, quarterback Kyle McCord. Round six, number 181, Alec Hallaby says, quote, "You watch that Miami-Syracuse game and he's going head-to-head with Cam Ward, and that was a great game. It was real. He processes fast. He's accurate. He throws with anticipation. He has good arm talent. He sees the field really well. If you get people open, he will find them early and he will throw them open," end quote. That last part is why I think Kyle McCord would succeed if he had to play. If you get people open, we know AJ and Devontae can get open. He'll find them early where he's not holding onto the ball. He's getting rid of it quickly and he'll throw them open. Throwing a player open is such an underrated skill in the NFL, and Kyle McCord throws anticipation throws. He will throw the ball to the spot the player is supposed to be before they're there. In the NFL, if you can do that, like even half a second is such a massive deal. Jalen Hurts has gotten better at it, and I think last year had some nice anticipation throws, but one thing that is an issue with the team is sometimes he holds onto the ball too long, or sometimes last year in the passing game, it was off schedule because he's throwing it a little late. Kyle McCord has a long way to go to be the quarterback Jalen is, but it is encouraging when you talk about what you want a quarterback that he can throw with anticipation already. So, look, there's not going to be many quarterbacks there at the rookie minicamp. So seeing Kyle McCord throw the ball today will be fun. I'm not going to track stats for today. I don't even think we'll get to see him scrimmage. Rookie minicamp stats, I would do it if you guys wanted, but we'll see. All right. Next up, tackle Miles Hinton out of Michigan, round six, number 191 overall. Quote from Alec Hallaby. "This is a certain body type that we like at tackle, and Miles fits that, and for a man his size, he has really good foot and body quickness. I think he can adjust really well, and there is a lot that he did in college that I think translates over to the NFL game," end quote. To be honest, my main takeaway from here is like Jeff Stoutland liked him, so they drafted him. Right? I mean, you look there and it says a body type we like a tackle. That means Jeff Stoutland. And there's a lot he did in college he thinks can translate over to the NFL. That's Stoutland. So we'll see what Stoutland can do with them. I trust Jeff Stoutland with this. All right. Next up, tackle Cameron Williams out of Texas. Round six, pick 207. Quote, "This is a powerful, powerful human. He is very long. He can move people. When he gets his hands on you, the down can be over. He played on a great team there against great competition. I think the exciting piece is there is a lot of room for him to grow. The developmental upside is real," end quote. The last sentence there, once again, really encapsulating how they see this, where they view this as a pure developmental guy. I don't think they expect him to play a single snap for him for the Eagles next year. Now, like Jordan Mailata, who is clearly more of a developmental player, he had never even played football when they drafted him, I think they've probably decided Cameron Williams is going to be on the roster and they're going to develop him. I think it would have to be such a disaster for him to not be on the roster that he would have to have such a terrible training camp in order for that to happen. I think he will be on the team. And he mentions the long wingspan there. He mentions how strong he is. Like, there's a lot to like with Cameron Williams. Okay, final one from Alec Hallaby. Edge rusher Antoine Powell-Ryland out of Virginia Tech, the Eagles' final pick, round six, picks 209 overall. "Antoine can rush," and this is obviously Alec Hallaby, quote, "Antoine can rush. He can rush the passer. There are people that just know how to rush the passer, who know how to have a feel for the junction, who have a spatial awareness that understand timing, when to hit it upfield, when to dive inside to the B gap, when to go down the middle, and he has all that. He didn't get that number of quarterback sacks by accident. Those sacks were earned. They came in a lot of different forms. They came in a lot of one-on-one situations. They came when he burnt an edge, when he bought an edge, when he dove into the B gap, when he rushed with power. Really good vision to the quarterback at the end of his rush too," end quote. And yeah, I think that basically sums him up. Like, physically, he doesn't have a ton where it's like that special. I don't think he has a special first step. I don't think he has like a special size, special wingspan. But some people just know how to do it. Like, it reminds me a little bit, maybe this isn't the best timing or comparison, but I've started it, so I'll do it, where Nick Castellanos is like, yeah, I was essentially like, yeah, I hit baseballs for a living. I don't like, you know, I didn't need a college degree or whatever. Maybe Powell Ryland just rushes the passer. That's just what he does. And he clearly did a high level at Virginia Tech. So I'm excited to see him. I think it's going to be tough for him to make the team, but I mean, hey, if he can rush a passer in the preseason, he gets like 9 sacks or whatever. I mean, that'd be absurd. But he gets like 4 sacks in the preseason, then maybe he'll earn his way where they don't think he'll make it through waivers. So that is Alec Hallabee on all 10 of the Eagles draft picks. That was probably a little meticulous. This is like a deep dive for the true draft nerds out there. But Alec Hallabee, I think, makes good points, speaks honestly, and I thought that was some good insight on the draft pick. So on the other side, we're going to continue to talk about the draft because that's the main thing happening today as rookie mini camp begins. And we'll dive into 2 more of the undrafted free agents that they signed. But first up, a word from our
nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Sponsor. So on yesterday's pod, we started the undrafted free agents with the running backs. Today, let's stay on the offensive side of the ball and talk about 2 very different players, 2 very different sizes, and 2 very different chances of making the team. First, let's start with a player I think could potentially make the roster, and that is Rutgers offensive tackle Holland Pierce. So why could Pierce make the roster? Well, we just talked about Cameron Williams and his ridiculous upside because of his athleticism. Well, Holland Pierce is 6'8", 341 pounds, and he's 24, so a little older. But again, I repeat, 6'8", 341 pounds, and he has got an 88-inch wingspan. I mean, this might be the most massive player in the NFL. He had the largest wingspan of anybody at the combine. So you put that size and that wingspan with Jeff Stoutland, and between him and Cameron Williams, one of them will hit. I'd be pretty surprised if Stoutland's not able to mold one of them into a really good player. So now, obviously, why does he go undrafted? So Holland Pierce goes undrafted because he's massive. He's big. You just read the scouting reports. A lot of like balance issues, I think. Now, this was encouraging. This was in the Beast that the Rutgers coach noted his dedication to technique. That's obviously encouraging, especially with the fact that he's already going to go to a head coach that obviously knows tech or Sirianni knows technique, but he goes to an offensive line coach that obviously knows technique. So, you know, Cameron Williams, I think, is going to make the team. The depth chart there with Mailata, Lane Johnson, safe to say they're going to make the team. But then you look at the other tackles they have. Miles Hinton, I think, will be cut. It's just my initial projection. And then there is the swing tackle whose name is, Darian Kennard. Darian Kennard, I think, has a chance to be the swing tackle as well. They signed Kendall Lamb, the veteran. So an uphill battle for Holland Pierce. I don't think he's guaranteed to make the team the way I think Cameron Williams kind of is because of his upside. But man, 6'8", 341, that's a ton of upside with that wingspan. All right, next up, someone who we'll talk about. And look, I'm wishing him the best. Excited to meet him in Philly. Hope he does well. But I don't think he has a great chance of making the team. That is Wake Forest running back punt returner Taylor Morin. So Taylor Morin is 5'10", 186 pounds. That's like basically my size on a good day. If I have on my boots, then I'm 5'10", but I can easily reach 186. I'll tell you that much. So this guy, obviously his weight, a little different than mine. I would say quite a bit more muscle than I have, but that's undersized. And when you watch him, I'm not sure what the special quality is. Like, he doesn't look very fast. He's not elusive. Like, he's strong. You can tell he's strong just looking at him, but I just think in the NFL, he'll like never break a tackle. So that would be my concern. Now, what he could bring that would help him, obviously, is special teams. And when you watch him as a punt returner, what I like is, and I don't know if I'll characterize this as a special quality, but he's patient. Like, when I watched him, he's like waiting to see what he'll do. He's not just going. He is looking to see. And as a result, he had some long runs. So I like that he's patient as a punt returner. But overall, the concern here is for Morin is, now the receiver depth chart's not great. I just don't see how he makes the team. I'm a little surprised they brought him in. So Holland Pierce, very exciting. Think he has a shot. Taylor Morin, not so much. So that'll do it for today's Daily Pod. Go out, enjoy your weekend, have fun. Maybe I'll do a Daily Pod today with everything that's said at Rookie Minicamp. Wouldn't surprise me if I did that. So that'll do it for today's pod. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.